Well, good. If you were here last week, you'd have heard Mark's bit. I was really encouraged with what Mark was saying. And I want to tie into that a little bit with some of the things I feel to share today. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to each one of us and to us as a church for the days in which we live. Because we're living in some good days, yeah? Great. Thanks, all four of you. So the last song we sung last Sunday was These Are the Days of Elijah, which is a great song. It's a few years old now, but a great song. And one of the parts of that song talks about Ezekiel and where he is, it's referring to in Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel is challenged to prophesy and declare to dead bones to come together and to the wind to come and bring life into them, and a mighty army arises. And there's this prophetic declaration, and there's like an instantaneous fruit. And you think, wow, that's fantastic. Oh, I thought you were coming for me, Martin. I thought I was in trouble then. Right. So an instantaneous fruit. That was brilliant, isn't it? But how many of us know that the prophetic words are not always instantaneously fruitful? Sometimes there's a bit of a wait and a bit of a journey. And But I love what Mark was talking about last week, because he said, use the scripture from John 4:35. So I want to talk a little bit about prophetic fruitfulness, or the fruit of prophecy. And Mark was talking about this thing about harvest, and he referred to the words of Jesus in John chapter 4, where Jesus says, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest." And I love what Mark said, this comment has been ringing in my ears ever since. The things are ripe when God says they're ripe. The things are ripe when God says they're ripe. In other words, naturally, around us, it might not seem the right season, or it might seem strange, but when God says now, it's now. And things burst into life and fruitfulness comes. And Mark had all sorts of illustrations about the home that they've just moved into, about people have sown things in the past and they're now reaping the benefits of. We'll come back to that in a minute. And also that they've sown some seeds and have already got the fruit of that harvest. And he was saying about this new building that we've acquired. And he said, I really believe that we're going to reap something of what's been sown in that area before. Hold on to that thought. I'll come back to that in a minute. And also we'll do some things and sow some seeds that will produce some fruit very quickly. So I was going, yeah, amen. So I've got all that ringing in my mind last week. And with regard to this property on Chelmsford Avenue, I've been sort of thinking about that and reflecting on prophetic words we've had over a number of years. And I want to sort of try and give a little bit of a thought on that today. How many of you know there's good prophecy and bad prophecy? In fact, Jesus talked about it in Matthew 7. He said, you know, there's good and there's bad. There's good prophets and there's bad prophets. I'm all for the good prophets. I'm all for the good prophetic. And the season that we're in, I believe the season we're in is a good season of good fruit. And there's a prophetic journey that we've been on, and we're seeing some fulfillment of that. So what I want to do is reflect on one or two prophetic words that we've had as a church over a number of years. And the first one I want to reflect on is 10 years ago. 2007, April, Swanwick Conference for the Ground Level Leaders down in Derbyshire. And Stuart Bell lands a prophecy on myself and Anne-Marie, but for us as a church. And I wonder, Alex, can we play it? We've got the audio recording of it. Can we just
Dave
play it
and now? Anne-Marie, I know buildings are in your heart at this time.
This was back
and I know there's a lot of speculation or even questioning in your heart as to, you know, should we, shouldn't we, what should we do, what shouldn't we do. I think there's a bigger issue here, and it's to do with your hearts prepared for adventure. And I believe that God's brought you where you are, not to stress over things, not to worry about is this the right strategy or even is this the right time. I believe those things will become clear. But I believe that today God's putting before you something to embrace, and it's an adventurous heart. To be able to say we are determined, that we're going to give, that our commitment is going to be such that we will walk into the adventures that are prepared for us. That actually, I believe God's putting in your heart a big adventure, a big story, a big storyline. He's causing things to rise within you, visions. I personally believe that you are going to go into that promised land in terms of territory and building. And I believe God's going to open doors for you. But I want to say over you, what you represent is going to be substantial. It's going to be big. It's going to be blessed of God. It's going to be substantial. It's the things that you've longed for, even from when you were a boy, things that you saw, even things that you visited. God is going to take you to a place where you're able to see, yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I believe that out of this meeting, you're going to both leave this place saying, we can certainly take this hill. We can certainly. Brilliant. Dave and Anne-Marie.
No, just stop it. That's about the end. Anyway. Yeah, brilliant. Cutting Stuart off in his prime, goodness me. Stuart's the leader of the Ground Level Network, if you're not aware, based at Lincoln. And he shared that, and we went away from that quite excited, a little bit unknown, a bit, oh, Lord, what have you called us into? What are we doing? And it was around that time, as the New Life congregation, as it was beginning to look at the former Methodist building on Wheelsby Road, and we wonder if that was all part of it. That didn't materialise. But on reflection, I look back now and I see something of this big adventure that God was talking about through Stuart. I think we've seen part of that in coming together as, you know, two congregations coming together and seeing City Church created in 2009. But I think there's more to come. Oh, okay, thank you. That's brilliant. So that's sort of ringing in the background. Then we were at a prayer evening. You must never miss prayer meetings. You never know what's going to be said. And in 2009, 2011, 6 years ago, David Robinson shared a prophetic word. And he said, I saw a man with a large hoop on his belt. Now, Dave, I'm not sure whether it was a vision or a dream. I'm just guessing it's a dream. You have to think about that. Bible says old men will dream dreams, young men will have visions, just if you're not sure. But he said, I saw a man with a hoop of keys on his belt. And it's like a jailer's set of keys. And he said, you know, he points to me, he said, it was you. And he said, you've been given keys for a number of different things. Not every key is to unlock some things, but some keys will be used to lock things up and seal them. The big keys are of some very historic issues, and you have the keys to them, and God will give you the wisdom of how and when to use them. And that prophetic word triggered a series of prophetic words about keys to buildings, and keys to unlock things, and keys to open things and close things, etc. And off the back of that, Mark drew a picture that's here on the screen. It's hung up in my office, actually, of a bunch of keys, a prophetic sign that God wants to give us access and influence in various ways. And it was very soon after that we got involved with Immigrant Christian Centre, and we're given a set of keys. So it's like, oh, okay. Now Brian has custody of those, Brian Robinson, many of you will know him, and he's involved there on our behalf. So that was interesting. So we get this set of keys. Obviously, we've got keys for our Freeman Street premises. And then 3 years ago, a number of us of leaders meet on a Tuesday once a month with the Ground Level Leaders Network. And Stuart Bell again was given a prophetic word. It wasn't directly to us, but it was across this group of leaders from the church network. And he said this. He said, you are going to find that doors are going to open to you. Not every door that opens will be the right one for you to go through. But as you keep close to the Lord, he will give you the wisdom needed. Doors are going to open to you. Within 2 hours of him declaring that, I get a phone call. The phone call was from Hamish Temple, who's the minister at the United Reformed Church. And he rings me up, it was a Tuesday, he said, last night, David, we had our elders meeting, and they've decided they want you to have some keys to our building. He said, can you come and pick them up sometime? And I went and got some keys. I've still got them. So that when we want to use it, when they're not using it, we can actually use it. Wow. That little journey with the United Reformed Church over a couple of years or so was an opportunity, and we explored quite extensively last year as to whether we should building share with the United Reformed congregation in their building. And for 9 months we had that conversation. Ultimately it became clear that that wasn't going to be the next step for us. And those words from Stuart echoed, you know, not every door that opens will be right for you to go through. We've still got the keys, so if we need to do anything in there, you know, I might have to give them back soon. Hamish does know we're getting another building. So coming to the end of last year and stepping into this new year, 2017, it was like, okay, Lord, that door is closed. What do we do? And we started to think as a leadership team and pray, and we invited some of the wider leaders, our group leaders, together and said, would you pray? We're just considering where we go, what we do now, because every door seemed to be closing that we'd explored. And if you've been around a while, you know we've explored a few. And so we said, you know, do we stay at the school, go into multi-services in the autumn when everybody's back from their holidays? Do we look at planting something out on the southern edge of northeast Lincolnshire possibly? So that was all the question. That was the beginning of April. We asked our wider leader group to pray. And then at the end of April, a number of us were at the Ground Level Leaders Conference, again, back down in Derbyshire at the Swanwick Conference Centre. It's a good place to go. Some significant things said and done there. And while we were there, we became aware that the building on Chelmsford Avenue had come up for sale. And we made some inquiries on coming back, ultimately got the opportunity to go and have a look around, and felt as a leadership team and directors group that this could potentially be the next step for us. And I wanted to think about that, because you think, okay, all these prophetic words we've had a few others, how do they fit? How does this fit with that? And I think back to a key one that Rachel Hickson shared with us some years ago, where she came and she spoke about our church as a church on the east gate of the nation. Do you remember that? You know, here we are, Grimsby, Immingham, Cleethorpes area. We're on the mouth of the Humber, and it's a major route in and out of our nation, isn't it? We're on the east. So the whole thought was, you see a lot of coming in and releasing out, coming in and releasing out. It's an east gate to the nation and to the nations, working both ways. And so east gate, and then we've had a number of prophetic words about us being on the gates. On the gates. And, you know, I thought about the United Reformed Church. Well, it's the A46, main trunk road coming into our area. That fits fantastic, doesn't it? Chelmsford Avenue. How on earth does that work? You know, do you ever think, like, is it just me? Yeah, you know, you have a question. And a number of roads in our town particularly have the word gate in them. We've got Bargate, Bringer Gate, Weller Gate, Carter Gate, and the list goes on. And we've looked in all of those areas, said, Lord, is it here? And yet here we are now, Chelmsford Avenue. I tell you what's fascinating, though. Can we just get the picture of the plan? So here's the building here. Here's Chelmsford Avenue. What's the other road it runs along? Inway. Eastern Inway. Now, I'm not going to build a theology on that, but I find it interesting. I find it interesting for another reason as well, because I had a meeting with Shirley Hardy on Monday. We meet about once every 3 months, chat about what she's doing in terms of mission, where she's just been, where she's going, et cetera, et cetera. Pray together. We were doing all of that, and then she said, do you know, this building, she said, I am so excited. I said, great. Somebody asked me, I think it was Martin last week, he said, are you excited about this new building? And I've got to confess, I just said, do you know, I think I'm just relieved. Really? I am getting more excited as this week's gone on, Martin. Is that okay? Yeah, brilliant. So Shirley says to me, I'm really excited about this building. I said, why is that? She said in the 1990s, she said there were a group of us who were asked by the leadership of what was New Life back then, would we go and pray into the Grange estate? And she said, we went for 3 months, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 3 months of doing that. And we prayed, and there was a lot of places all shut up, boarded up, and there was a lot of problems on the estate. And she said, we went and prayed, and we did it faithfully, not sensing that we should plant anything in there at that time, but she said, just speaking life into the place. And she said, now, she said, I see fruit coming for those seeds of prayer that were sown all those years ago. I didn't know about that until Monday morning. And that sort of thrilled me a bit. I think God's up to something. So there's that. And then I want to go back even further than 10 years. I want to go 12 years ago. How many of you are in the church 12 years ago? Yeah, good few of you. How many of you are at that meeting in Freeman Street when Dwayne White came and spoke? And he spoke, and I was surprised. It was 12 years ago, 2005, July the 1st. And he spoke from Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 6 and 7, where Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shalem, your uncle," so in other words, your cousin, "is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it.'" And he spoke about this whole sense of others in the Christian scene coming to us. Since the local Catholic community found out that we were interested in their building, they've repeatedly said to us, "We want you to buy our building. We want you to buy our building." They feel so, and felt so strongly about that, they wrote a very strongly worded letter to the Nottingham Diocese of the Catholic Church, saying, "Above all applications and interest in this building, we want City Church to have it." Effectively, "City Church, would you buy our field?" Wow. That's 12 years ago when that sort of stuff was shared. So here we are with all those prophetic words as a backdrop, with the grace of God, with the goodwill of the Catholic community, with a bit of negotiation. We're purchasing the Chelmsford Avenue campus. How many of you would like to know how much we're paying for it? Oh, nobody. Okay, that's great. I'll not tell you. You'd like to know. Yeah. God's been very good to us. The grace of God has gone before us. And our offer of £352,000 has been accepted on that building. Now, that's the church building, a community hall, a five-bedroom house on an acre of land for £352,000. Yeah. When Dwayne shared that word 12 years ago with us, he went on to say this. He said, the possession of property will give you authority in the heavenlies. Watch out. He went on to say, "The thought of the vine at the gate is what keeps coming back to me." Or actually, the vine on the gate or around the gate. It's like ivy growing over so that you almost see the ivy before you see the gate. "I see you getting so intermingled with the gates of this city that the way you'll possess them is not to take them, but to overtake them, to almost co-mingle with them." And it's all about influence. Because the gates of the city historically were the places of decision-making and influence. And I just, Lord. So the next stage of the journey, I think, is potentially incredibly exciting. Just very quickly, just put those, there's a couple of slides with a number of the prophetic words. I haven't had time to talk about them all, but, you know, we've heard about a big adventure, a big storyline. God is going to open doors for you. What you represent is going to be substantial. God doesn't want you in a backwater or lower division, but wants to raise the profile of this fellowship and this region. That's an interesting statement, and this region. I tell you what, with this renewable stuff going on, the profile of this region has been cranked up. Because 12 years ago, I don't think that was on the agenda. You've seen a season of hiddenness, but a day is dawning when your influence will spread. Expect greater influence and much growth. You'll be a church on the gates of the city, like a lighthouse whose light reaches out locally and globally. Next screen. An Antioch church, a sending center, a resource center. People are watching you from all over the world. Here's a fascinating story that just came to light a couple of weeks ago. You know, we put these podcasts out of Sunday morning preachers, and they're on the internet. Somebody in America, and we don't know where, but we know it's America from the IP address, every week for the last, where's Pete? It's not here. I think it's 3 years, has downloaded our Sunday morning service. So if you're listening to this podcast, thank you. Is it 3 years, Pete? How many? 3 years? Yeah, around 3 years I've been there. If you're listening, the Lord bless you. Be encouraged. You know, who knows who's hearing what's going on in Grimsby in northeast Lincolnshire. Churches will look to you for help and encouragement and support. There's a breakthrough coming through faith and action. I tell you what, the CAP program is doing great. There's another person became debt-free this week. And so, you know, we celebrate that. The people getting saved, we celebrate that. You will see a youth movement across our area. We haven't seen that yet. But I tell you what, and I've given up trying to second-guess God, but we're getting a building directly opposite a sixth form college. Let's see what God will do. God is giving you keys to unlock strongholds, unlock gifting in people and buildings. Isn't God good? You know, I thank God for all his prophetic words and encouragement. I thank God for every person who was faithful and bold enough to say those things to us when none of this looked anywhere near reality. But we're faithful, and some of you are here in this room who shared some of those things. And here we are in 2017, January of this year. From the beginning of the year, we've been hearing about 2017 as a year of breakthrough. A year of breakthrough. There was another prophetic word again from Dwayne White. He was in Lincoln, but he spoke it to our Pete and about Grimsby and the church. God is going to put the great back into Grimsby. We've heard that on a number of times, so let's really believe it. And the move of God is coming to Grimsby. We've heard that a number of times, let's believe it. God is faithful to his word. And, you know, some of this stuff has been a long time coming, but God is faithful to his word. It's like God is saying now to some of this stuff. In this season, it's a now season. The harvest is now. The fruit of prophecy is now. Do you know, this excited me. There's something happening. I'm getting really excited now. There's something happening on the A46. What do you mean, David? Grimsby, Caister, Market Raisin. Grimsby, we're going into a new building. Caister with The Rock, the church, Springs Church, based in Caister, are going to be part of that, and they're going into a new building. Market Raisin was at Paul and Katie Harley's 31-year anniversary and their retirement due last year, and they're just buying, the church is just buying, a former social club in the centre of Market Raisin. They're taking to having used hired halls for 31 years. Something's happening on the A46. Well, smile for those of you who live here. I mean, Steve and Molly, you're going to miss all this. But anyway, it seems to me it is a breakthrough year, because some of this stuff has been worked on for a long time and questions asked. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. God is good and God is faithful. And if you've got prophetic words over your life, and maybe it was 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 12 years ago, don't lose hope, don't lose sight, but believe it. If it's for your family, believe it. You know, there's a season that we're in. The harvest is ripe when God says it's ripe. There is a fruit of prophecy. The promise is still on. Musicians, come on, let's wind this thing up. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We've got to keep a right heart. We've got to keep a right spirit. Mike Leeson, he's not here this morning, but he brought a prophetic word to me a couple of weeks or so ago, printed it out, and it was based on Proverbs chapter 4. And get a hold of this. It says this, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words." That's both the written, the word of God, but I also believe the prophetic that is brought to us. Pay attention. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep reminding yourselves of what God is saying. For they are this is for somebody here today. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. What is God saying? What has God said? Yeah. They're waving offering bags at me. We'll do that in a minute. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. In other words, keep a right attitude. Keep a right attitude. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk away from your lips. Watch what you say and how you say it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Don't get distracted. Give careful thought to your paths, for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. In other words, stick to doing the things that are right and righteous. You know, character is a huge thing. Character as individuals and as church is a huge thing. And if we can keep the character of ourselves and our church right, then we can walk into these prophetic things. There's a season. It's a now season. And when God says it's ripe, the harvest is ripe.